is the goal for the day. So let's pray together, and we'll just ask the Lord to be among us and to continue to work today. Heavenly Father, I thank you for the opportunity to worship together as a church. I thank you, Father, that you've made a way that we can get back to you, God, that we don't have to be to walk around this life just in chains and encumbered, Father, but we can be free to walk and to serve and to do everything you've asked us to do. Father, thank you for making a way back to yourself. Thank you, God, that we can come in and worship you freely, Father, and to love you and to be with you. And we thank you, Lord, for that and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. All right. Well, Pastor is really good at this, and I am not really good at this yet. So please bear with me if I stumble on some points or whatever. It'll be all right. I'll tell you what. I was going to tell you a joke. Not really a joke. It's just something funny I thought of when we were coming back up. So, you know, you have phones in pockets or whatever. My friend Keith was here about a year ago. I don't know if he's going to be back here or not. Great teacher, great preacher, very good at what he does. He speaks all the time, and he can, man, I mean, you talk about put your points in the right amount of time and get them done. So I thought, well, I'm going to just test him out and see if I can't aggravate him while he's preaching a little bit, because that's the kind of friend I am. And so I started texting him in the middle of service with his phone sitting right up here. See, I bet y'all didn't even know. See, I know. Us, sometimes when you get in the ministry, you get a little ornery sometimes because, you know, on occasion you want to just mess with somebody. So anyway, that has nothing to do with the message other than I thought it was funny and I thought about it. So today we're going to talk about walking in your God-given destiny. I tell you what, I love the Christmas season. You guys know when Pastor Appreciation came around in October, these guys, the worship team knows, I got a Christmas gift in October, and I'm cool with that. So I love Christmas, the lights, the whole thing about it. It's really my favorite time of the year. I love it getting dark early and all the good stuff. It makes me happy on the inside. Just past Christmas is another really cool time of the year, and that's New Year. And New Year has always been to me a time when you can take inventory of what's going on in your life. Usually, unless you're in retail, you're probably your workload is semi down a little bit, maybe. And you get a little time to reflect. No. Tiffany's like, no, it's not. Sometimes you get some opportunity to reflect about what God has done for you this past year, where your family is, how are your finances, you know, tax time is coming up. How are things going? Let's take a look back and take some inventory about what's going on. And I would challenge you to take the opportunity this year to do exactly that. Look back and reflect on all of the things that have happened to you, all of the things that you have been able to accomplish, all of the things that you wish you had accomplished this year, and take a look at them and see, get a good gauge for where it is that you feel like you are. And then, you know, so it's an opportunity to reflect. You can look back and do that. It's also an opportunity to either repent or rejoice. You know, it's over. It's done. 2013 is just about wrapped up. There's nothing much you can do about February 2013 right now. So repent on it or rejoice over it and move on. Amen. So let's do that. Take a look at it. Decide where you are and then make a move. And now you want to renew. You want to renew and refresh your vision for the coming year. Amen. We all know the scripture, without a vision, the people perish. So if you don't have a vision in your life, if you don't have something that you are set before you, some kind of a carrot out there that is calling you forward and helping you to move another step forward, you need to get a vision or you will perish. Okay, it's not my words. That's just what the Bible says. How many of you know, and we'll get around to this in just a minute, it's really easy to get in the ruts and the routines of life, right? You get up, you brush your teeth, you get your coffee, you go to work, you drive home, you get the groceries, you make the dinner, you go to bed, you get up, you know, it's really easy. It's natural. It's what our bodies do. We get into this muscle memory, and we move through our days sometimes, and we get to doing that thing. But you need a vision. You need something outside of your daily natural routine that causes you to go higher in your personal life, to go higher in your spiritual life, to go higher with your family, to go higher with your finances. So that's my goal today, is to help you find, to help or ask you a few questions that will help you possibly fine-tune the vision and the direction that God has for you in this coming year. This is one of my favorite type of messages. I love vision. I love destiny. I don't know. That's what God has put in the inside of me, is to really enjoy and understand that, and to take part in and trying to show what it might mean for you to walk that out in your own life for yourself. So many people, Jeremy mentioned it, make New Year's resolutions. Some people lose weight. Some people resolve to organize your life. I'm going to get that closet clean if it's the last thing I do. Yeah, you know what I'm talking about, right? Some people say, man, this year I'm going to call my loved ones more. I didn't reach out. So there's all types of goals, all types of things that we can do to reach out and as Jeremy said, New Year's resolution, man, those things are good. How many of you make New Year's resolutions every year, right? Yeah, pretty good. Oh, okay, we got a few. All right, so this year I'm going to challenge you to make some resolutions, but I'm going to take a twist on the resolution thing, and we're going to call it, let's write down your vision. Let's have a destiny for 2014. Let's start to look at it in terms of, this isn't just worldly stuff. This is stuff that you co-labor with God in, and that he gives you ideas, and he puts things in you, in your heart, and you walk them out because it's what he's told you to do in 2014. All right, so here's a question. How long, generally speaking, you don't have to tell on yourself, this will be rhetorical so nobody gets in trouble. How long do those resolutions usually last? I know. The first week is good, man. I got this. This is not a problem. Man, I can lose however many pounds I need to lose. I'm not going to give you a number. Leave me alone about it. And then week two is like, oh, man, that first week was really good. Tacos, burritos, queso, yes. Me gusta mucho. Comida, yeah. Did y'all get that? You like that? Next year is Mexico missions. I'm kidding. I'd not call them missions. Oh, Lord. All right. Out of the abundance of the heart, right? All right, well, guess what? God has a plan. He has a destiny for your life that is long-lasting, that is refreshing, and that is rejuvenating to you. And it's something that everyone can begin to accomplish no matter where you are in your walk with him, all right? Every single person has a God-given destiny, a God-given deposit on the inside of you that is trying to get out, all right? And today I'm going to ask you a few questions to hopefully help you let that come out of you and begin to move down that process a little bit. If you can, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. I'm going to read it to you this morning. And Greg, I'm going to believe this water was put here not 3 weeks ago. Fresh today. I knew he had it handled. Excellent. Ephesians 2:10. I'm going to read it to you out of the Amplified, and it goes a little something like this. For we are God's own handiwork, his workmanship, recreated in Christ Jesus, born anew, that we may do those good works which God predestined, planned beforehand for us, taking paths which he prepared ahead of time, that we should walk in them, living the good life which he prearranged and made ready for us to live. And that's powerful stuff. We are his workmanship. He put us together with his hands. He built us. I mean, you talk about, you know, I think it's fun to build with Legos, and I think some guys might think it's fun to rebuild engines and vehicles. Man, he built the most intricate and complicated and complex creation, the most amazing workings inside of you. You know, he did it with his own hands. How many of you guys know that when you paint, it's something. When you're done, you look back and you're finished on it, you go, I like that. You know what? I created that. I did it. For musicians, maybe you wrote a song, and man, that really just, that ministers to me. It's good. Anything you do, I think every one of us, for whatever it is that we do in our life, when you've accomplished that task, you step back and you go, man, that was pretty good. I kind of like that. I believe, God, with all of my heart, that he's looked back and he said, look at what I did. Look right there. I did that. I know he created us to be his workmanship. We are his handiwork, and that's amazing. And he created us that we may do good works that he prepared beforehand for us, taking the paths that he already has planned for us, that we should walk in them. Now, you guys know we co-labor with him, and we walk with him, and we are human, and we have to find our way sometimes. But he's got a plan, and he's got a path for you. What's the best, Jeremiah 29:11? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and a future. I mean, he is on your side, man. We got to get that. So I'm going to ask you this morning, what is destiny? What is it? Here's a definition that I thought was a pretty good one. It's a course or path in life that includes two things, both the God-given destination that you are seeking at the end of your life. So the final destination is your destiny. But it also includes your own faith-filled journey toward that destination. So twofold, destiny is twofold. It's the end result. It's the thing you're trying to get done in this life. And it's also the path that gets you to that end destination. It's not fate, and it's not a result of chance. It's a choice and a responsibility that each of us carries. I can't fulfill the destiny, the call of God that's on your life. You can't fulfill mine. But we do need each other in order for all of them to be accomplished, right? There are things that I have and things that I know that you need. There are things that you have and that you know that I need. We are in this thing together. So think about this. That's why God puts us together as a church. That's why he puts us together as a team, because we can accomplish so much more together than we can individually. That doesn't discount the fact that you have a specific plan. But together is how we walk those things and work those things out. You know, we'll get to that in just a little bit further. But as we just read, every person is created with an ordained destiny in mind. Young and old, rich and poor, shy, outgoing, ugly, pretty. Just kidding. Y'all are all pretty and handsome. Everyone has an ordained destiny. You cannot sit there today and tell me after what we just read that you don't have a destiny, that you don't have something in this life that your Father wants you to fulfill. You can't say that. We just read that in the Bible. The question today is, are you walking in yours? Are you walking yours out? So the goal today is to help propel you further down the road and give you a few tools to help you achieve your destiny. So how do you discover your destiny? How do you know whether you're on the right path? Sometimes we all wonder, are we doing right? Are we hearing from God right? I know I've asked myself those kinds of questions many times. Is this the right path? Is this the right school? Is this the right whatever? But some of you at the very beginning of your process, some of you are early new Christians, or you haven't really walked out with God what you need. And so you might be asking, how do I know what to do? How do I hear his voice? What do I do next? So hopefully we're going to have those questions answered for you today. Some of you have been at it for a while, and maybe you've gotten sidetracked a little bit. How do I get back into his will? Am I gone too far? Am I out too far to be used? Have I sinned too much? No, the answer to that's no. That's an obvious one. How do I jumpstart my passion once again? That's a great question. Some of you are right smack in the middle of your designed destiny journey, to which I ask, why aren't you up here teaching this? That's a joke. You can laugh. It's cool. All right. I read a book a few years back that really kind of put me on a good journey, a path. It was called Fulfilling Your God-Given Destiny by Casey Treat. I do recommend the book. It's got some of the questions. So as to give credit where credit is due, some of the questions from this, from what I'm going to do today, came from his book. But in that book, he asked them several questions that, when answered honestly, will give you valuable insight toward discovering and maintaining the path in your life that God has designed for you. Today, I'll share some of those questions with you, and I believe that as you think about them, as you ponder them, you'll begin to discover a path or a direction, or there'll be just a spark of life inside of you that will motivate you to move forward in Him. Amen? All right. So we're cruising right along. Key questions that will uncover your destiny. Some of these aren't earth-shattering. Some of them, I should have had a V8. Man, that's obvious. But the cool thing is when you hear somebody teaching the word and God gives the word out and it becomes a spark and it becomes rhema to you, it gives you something more than just knowing or just, hey, I've read that before, I understand that. So today I'm praying that the Holy Spirit moves inside of you and puts a spark and gives you something to propel you through 2014 and the rest of your life. So here's a few questions. Number one, what are the deepest desires of your heart? You know, the Bible says in Psalm 37:4 that delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. I think that's twofold. I think that He will give you the things that you desire, but I also think that it means that He will put those desires in there. He will put inside of you what He wants to come out. A desire is a God-given force that He uses to help us fulfill our destiny. We all have whims, fantasies, and passing thoughts about our lives that come and go, but a desire is something that lasts you a lifetime. Our job is to separate fantasies from desires in this walk. So when I was growing up, when I was a little kid, my dad asked me, what do you want to be when you grow up? Well, here's what I want to be. And I had it planned. So about the time I was in college, I was going to begin to play baseball until I was 35 years old, professional baseball. At 35, I was going to retire from baseball, and I was going to golf professionally until I was 55. And then when I was 55, I was going to retire and fish until I died. That was exactly the plan for my life. I know, it's pretty good, right? That's what I'm talking about, exactly right. Those were good goals. They were good things to have fun thinking about. But I had a deeper desire. Long about the time I got into college and had opportunity to walk on and do some things at the school, it didn't work out that way. But you know what? I didn't pursue it further than that because I had a desire that was deeper, that was coming up on the inside of me, that overrode those things that in my mind, boy, this would be a really cool life to live, right? But I had a desire and a hunger for the things of God, and it began to rise up in me, and it overshadowed all of those fantasies, all of the whimsical thoughts and passing fancies that I had, and I began to pour my life into that desire. And I'm sitting here today, well, let's see, I'm 40, so I would be golfing right now. I wouldn't be here today. So just so you know, that's where I'd be. But you know, I tell you what, the thing that God puts in me, and we're gonna ask this question in just a minute, but it's those desires, the things that He puts in you that propel you forward. So the question, number one question, what is the deepest desire of your heart? What do you truly, truly at your core want to do? What is it that you love? Question number two, what stirs your passion? What is it that lights your fire, floats your boat, pick your metaphor? What is it that fires you up? Prayer, worship, missions, business, education, painting, building, something in this world gets you lit up. And you know what I'm talking about, man. When somebody brings up, pick your topic, your lights come on, and your eyes get wide, and you get a smile on your face, and it's all you can do to contain yourself because that's what I want to talk about. That's what I want to do. That's what I want to be. What stirs your passion? Passion is what moves us to action. It's great to have a desire, but if you don't have something kind of motivating you beyond that, you need a passion. It moves you to action. Another way to say it is this. Let me hold on just a second. Passion causes you to do something, right? Pastor has said before, and it took me a little bit to digest this as he told me, but I found it very true. Here's another way to say it. What is my passion? What thing aggravates you the most? All right, Pastor told me once, if something aggravates you a lot, it's probably yours to fix. And so I was like, I don't like that. I don't like that at all because it bugs me. But I want to see it fixed. I want to see justice in X. I want to see X, Y, Z. So if you care about something so much to the point that you get upset about it or you want to right the wrong or you want to fix the problem, maybe, just maybe, you found a part of your destiny, found a part of your calling. Sometimes you have to look at the reverse side of things in order to see the positive, amen? So another way to say it is, what is it that fires you up and motivates you to action? What stirs your passion? Number three, what flows naturally out of you? That's very simple and very basic. Most days, your destiny will feel just right or natural as you discover it. It comes naturally to you. Some folks, man, making money flows naturally out of them, right? I have a couple of folks in our family that, man, they could wad up a piece of paper, throw it, and make money doing it. I mean, it's crazy, but it's natural to them. Making money is natural. So what is it for you? Many people attempt to do things that are special or unique, or out of the ordinary because somehow it makes them feel like you're accomplishing more or you're expanding or you're searching or you're increasing. But most often, your destiny is tied to the things that are easy for you to do, the things that come naturally to you. Matthew 11:29-30 says this, "Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." God is a loving Father. He wants, you know, we can get into, you need to work for things, you need to, you know, there's going to be things that come against you in this life, and there will be. But overall, as a whole, the thing, the destiny, the thing that God has put in you should be something that flows out of you naturally, that you have a drive and a desire and a passion to do, and it doesn't have to be complicated. You can be in the midst of, and we'll touch about this in a minute. You could be in the midst of the most crazy storm, but if you're doing your destiny, if you're fulfilling the path and you're on the path, man, that doesn't matter. I mean, the world could be going crazy around you, but you're standing in the middle of it in total, complete peace because you're doing exactly what he's asked you to do. So the thing you need to ask yourself today, what flows naturally out of you? I'll tell you what. Donna, my Donna, I have to do that. There's several Donnas around. My Donna, the thing that flows naturally out of her is teaching and working with kids. That's just one of the things that flows so naturally out of her. I mean, if it weren't for her, there is no telling what our children would be right now. I mean, if they were left to my wiles, God, thank you. That, you should see her. I mean, I have seen parents with four-year-olds on a pacifier. It's okay if yours has a pacifier. It doesn't matter. I'm just telling you a story. Don't get mad at me. If you want an email, it's PastorMikeJohnson@... Don't call me. I have seen parents who have been working so hard to get a pacifier out of a child's mouth, and they'll walk into that classroom, and Donna will walk up and go, and that child will put that pacifier in there and never touch it for the rest of the day. I'm telling you, it flows naturally out of her. She can get kids to do things, crazy things. You should see them washing our cars and our screens. Oh, I'm kidding. I'm just kidding. But they do good. No. But so figure it out what it is for you. Is it business? Is it money? Is it missions? Whatever. That's the thing you should be looking toward. Foster that. Begin to walk in that and work that out. Along the same lines, where do you produce good fruit or results? What's easy for you to, what is it that's easy that when you do it, it just works? Susan Candy, you guys know, she can build a set in a second. I mean, last Christmas, I said, I think I want this and that and the other. And then it's like, she's, and then she hands me this entire drawing of a set. It's just natural and easy for her to do. And next thing you know, not only is it a drawing, but it's a reality. It just flows out of her. So you all have something in you just like that. Begin to tap into it. Don't take that for granted, that gift, that talent that you have. Never take it for granted. Use it for his kingdom and for his glory. Now, don't be mistaken. That doesn't always mean that you're going to be a Pastor Mike and you're standing up and you're going to be teaching. Doesn't always mean that people will see what you do, but it does mean that you're doing exactly what he has asked you to do in this life. And I'll tell you what, one of my favorite passages, and it's a parable that Jesus talked about. People were given certain amounts of money. There's two different ones, so I don't want to confuse the issue. But they were given certain amounts of money. And the guy that was given 10 talents and 5 talents and 1 talent, they all did their thing. Guess what? They all got the same reward, right? The guy with 10 talents with 1 talent did right by it, and he got the same reward as the guy who had 10 talents. You'll have to look it up, and you can read the differences between the two parables. But it makes me realize, you know what? Billy Graham has preached, and millions of souls were won for the kingdom. But you know what? For a woman in a classroom that has poured her heart into children, and no one ever sees that, nobody may know what happened behind those doors, the same reward. Why? Because that is the thing that he has asked of her and you and you and you. So you don't have to be on a platform. You don't need to be saving. Well, I mean, it's good if you save millions of souls. That'd be amazing. But you're not Billy Graham. We're not called to be Billy Graham or whomever your favorite guy is, right? You're called to be you and called to do what he's asked you to do, and your reward is great in heaven. John Bevere talks a little bit about, he kind of describes that a little bit better detail, but know this, our God is a just God. You know, he calls the smallest and the greatest, and he rewards us all. He rewards us the same. If you fulfill your piece of the pie, then your reward is great in heaven. Amen. So God isn't interested. Let's see here. Jesus told a parable also in Luke 13:6. Through 9, and it says something like this. An owner gave an orchard keeper 1 year to make it productive. And if it didn't work, he said to cut it down. Why use up the ground? So the owner told the orchard dealer, the guy, work this thing for 1 year. If it doesn't work, get rid of it. Why mess up the ground? Why take up the space? God isn't interested in things that don't work. Remember, a question here is what brings forth fruit. He's not interested in things that don't work. One thing I appreciate so much about Pastor Mike is he's willing to try some things. You know, well, let's give it a shot and see what works. You know what? If God is breathing on it, then we'll move that direction until he's not. If he's not breathing on it, man, no harm, no foul. Cut it off and move on. Let's get moving. So don't be afraid to give stuff a try. But watch within yourself and know what is it that brings forth fruit or produces good results when you do it. Our job is to keep on working and discovering until we get it right. We're human. We have frail, natural minds. We don't see the mind and the heart of God all the time. Sometimes he doesn't reveal it to us all at once. We have to do what we do to discover until we get it right. If your business isn't making a profit, you better change something. You know, if it doesn't make a profit after a reasonable amount of time, maybe you shouldn't be doing that business. Get rid of it. Do something different. This life is full of opportunity. Man, can we just shout out to America right now and what God has done in this place? We are in the greatest nation on the earth. I'm not ashamed to say it. I know, PC, blah, blah. This is recorded right now. Maybe you could stop. No, I'm just kidding. God has done something amazing in this place, in this country. We get to, if you decide you want to wake up, drive around the block and eat 14 cinnamon rolls for breakfast, you can go do that. You know what? You can do that. It's an amazing thing that we are not hindered by ridiculous, you know, you could have one piece of bread a month. I don't know, whatever. You know, make up your horrible third world country place. We live in the most amazing and at play. We have no excuse. Can we just say it this way? We have no excuse for not standing up, pulling up your bootstraps, whatever you call it, and moving on toward the thing that God has called you to do. That's my challenge to you today, is don't make any excuses for your life. You know what? I know personally people who have come from out of a hellish situation and have made amazing things come out of their life. You guys know the same. You guys know the same. What is it that produces fruits? That's our job, is to find that out. Number five, what is the witness of the Holy Spirit inside of your spirit? Romans 8:14 says this, for those who are led by the Spirit of God are the children of God. Do you have an intuition, a knowing? Do you have down on the inside of you that gives you direction? Something that says, that's not right, or hey, let's go, maybe go this way. You know, as you spend more and more time, and this is a lifetime proposition here. It's not, you know, 15 minutes on Sunday morning. But as you spend more and more time with him, you will fine-tune that knowing. You'll get better at hearing his voice. You will move forward in your destiny with confidence, knowing that what he has spoken to you is yours to take hold of and to walk this life out with, whatever it is. You know, I may have mentioned this before, but it's cool to me and it never ceases to amaze me. For whatever reason, the Lord trains me to hear his voice by knowing what time of day it is. Okay, kind of goofy, I get it. But I can wake up in the middle of the night before I open my eyes and I will listen and I will see what time it is. And 9 times out of 10, it's 2:37. Yep, 2:37. It's gotten to a point where it's a little goofy. Just two mornings ago, Donna was brushing her teeth, and I had finally got out of bed. We had some vacation, so it was a little later than normal, which was pretty awesome. I stood up, and I had no clue. I mean, we had gone to bed late. I heard activity outside. The sun was up. Didn't have the first idea what time it was. So I get out of bed, and I walk over to my phone. And before I pressed the button, I was like, 9:37. Bam, 9:37. And I hollered out because it was so exciting to me. Donna was in there brushing her teeth like, what's wrong with you? But it never ceases to amaze me that he loves me and he works with me. That's how he deals with me. He's got to deal with you that way. You're such a unique creature created in him. So be aware. I'm asking you today to open your eyes to the things that are godly and spiritual and move toward those things. Understand how you hear his voice. And whatever that is for you, foster that. Work on that. Make that happen. He wants you to succeed. He's a great dad. I mean, how many of you moms and dads want your kids to just, how much you want to put them out of the nest and oh, good luck. See ya. You know, come back in 18 years when it's all handled. No. You want those kids to succeed, man, in everything they do. How much more our Heavenly Father? The Bible says we're evil. And how much more our Heavenly Father wants us to succeed? So whatever it is, whatever produces result, whatever desires you have coming up in you, however it is you've got to learn to hear his voice better and better and better, do those things. Do them. And that way you will walk out your destiny with confidence. Question number six, what do mature Christians see in you? This is a big one. It's hard to be accountable. It's hard to receive instruction. It's hard sometimes to receive correction. No, it's hard all the time to receive correction. All right? None of us want to get our hands slapped. But you know what? The best thing, the Bible says that he chastens those whom he loves. He is a great dad. I'll tell you what. If you don't love your kids, you're not gonna chase them, you're not gonna correct them, you're not gonna guide them and say the hard things to them that you are required to say as a parent. You know why? Because it's way easier not to, right? It's easier today not to. You know what I'm saying? A few years down the road, that's gonna change, and that's likely to change. It's so much better if a mature father, Your heavenly father, if a mature earthly father can speak into a life, mature friends that you have that are believers that you know are walking with God. Now you can't just open yourself up, right? You can't just open yourself up to being smacked down by anybody. I mean, because that you know, people are able to speak into your life. But when they do, receive it. Receive it with joy. Receive it with a thankful heart, realizing that your Father loves you and he wants the best for you. He wants you to succeed, and this is one way he helps you fine-tune that path, all right? So receive that correction. So the question is, what do mature Christians see in you? You are not alone. in this walk. God will bring friends and leaders who can help you out on destiny's journey. Proverbs 18:1 says this, a man who isolates himself seeks his own desire. He rages against all wise judgment. That's serious. Don't try to make every decision on your own. You need help. We all need help. Proverbs 11:14, where there is no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. I don't know about you. I'll tell you what. There's a friend that I have. His name is George. And he is, I knew him many, many years back. And we parted ways. We were attending the same church. We parted ways. And then I ran into him one day at a service. And he said something to me. I hadn't seen this guy for probably a couple of years at that point. But he said something to me that really blew me away. I mean, I was like coming down the aisle, hey, man, great to see you. I haven't seen you in a long time. And he stopped. He didn't even say hello. He began to prophesy to me right away. And he said, you need to put people around you that can help you. You need to get off of the island by yourself, and you need to put people in your vicinity that can help you fulfill the call. Because I hadn't said a word to anybody, and it wasn't something I was trying to do. But I recognized at that point I had done so many things. I had tried so many things, and I'd failed so many times to try to figure out what it is that I was needed to get into. But I was always doing it alone. I wanted to do it all. And I think some of that's just a natural flow. That's who I am. I want to get my hands dirty and work and do. But he made that wise statement to me. He said, get people around you that know how to do things, and then you will succeed. And I tell you what, I haven't forgotten that. Now that's been every bit of 15 years or maybe even longer, probably longer than that. But it has stuck with me to this day, and it has been an important part of me continuing my own personal journey. You must allow mature friends and leaders to speak into your life. We all have blind spots. We just do. If you don't, you'll go through more hard knocks than you should have. Amen. All right. Number 7, what career or ministry do you feel the peace of God about pursuing? Talked about the peace. We talked about peace a while ago. You could be in the midst of total chaos, and your heart is just peaceful and as laid back as you get. Jesus, think of Jesus on the boat. The storm is raging all around him. He wasn't concerned. And God gives us the ability to control our situations just like he did. He knew that the will of God was to go to the other side. He didn't say, let's go halfway and drown, guys. That wasn't the word that he gave. He said, let's go to the other side. So he already knew what his destiny was. He knew where he was going. So there was peace in that. So we need to follow that peace. What is it that you sense peace about? Do it. Just do that thing. The peace, though, I'm talking about goes beyond the natural mind. It defies understanding or explanation. It's a supernatural part of knowing you are on course with God and with your destiny. It doesn't mean that the storm won't rage. It just means that you'll have peace in the raging of the storm. Amen. Good stuff. Number 8, what thoughts, visions, or dreams are impossible for you to get out of your mind? What is it, I'll say it in this way, that haunts you? What is it that, in a good way, what is it that nags at you that you can't turn loose of? Every time your brain goes back to a natural, maybe a resting state, you think about X or Y or Z. What is that thing? Many times when the Lord plants something in our hearts, in our spirit, it comes through an idea, a thought that just won't go away. It stays with you. Again, destiny is a lifetime process here. Even when you bury it, even when you bury that thought out of fear or maybe rebellion or disobedience, it still keeps popping up. The Lord sends signs, road signs, to remind you. If you have any thoughts that you can't shake, they might be an indication of God's plan for your destiny. All right, there's been, particularly in the past, probably 20 years for me, I didn't realize this until I watched my son Ryan coming on up. That boy wants to invent. He wants to create. He wants, well,
And it didn't hit me until maybe even just a few months ago that when I was a little kid, that's the thing that was inside of me to invent. I've always wanted to invent something, always wanted to create. And I'll tell you what, over these years, I didn't know what to do with it. You know, working on still what to do with it. But over all of these years, almost everywhere, every church we've been, every place we've served, I've always heard the pastor say, you know, that scripture about God giving witty ideas and inventions, you know, and it just keeps, it's a road sign for me. Because every time that pops up, every time somebody prays that or whatever, man, the inside of me, you know, it stirs my passion. That lights my fire. And I didn't know why. I don't understand why. But maybe, maybe a month or so ago, Pastor Mike even said the same thing from this pulpit. He prayed a prayer at the end of one of the services, and he was basically speaking that over us. And he's been saying it, right? There are songs, son, in you that are yet to come forth, right? And they will come forth. There are books that need to be written. There are buildings that need to be built. There are people that you need to touch, and you need to be, you need to reach into their lives, because he's called you to do great and mighty things. Amen. So when you see those road signs, you know, if you can't quite get it, I mean, and you know how the Lord is. He's a bit of a comedian, I have to say. You know, it's funny to me. He can speak through a donkey, right? You know what I'm talking about. He can speak through the most odd circumstances and situations. So my challenge to you is pay attention to what it is as you're going through your normal routines in your days. Pay attention to what it is that sparks on the inside of you. When you're driving and you see the road sign, whatever, what thing that sparks inside of you? Take note of it. Recognize, hey, Lord, was that you speaking to me? And then you watch, he'll answer you. He'll tell you he was speaking to you, because you'll see it again and again. It'll come up in conversation. It'll be a topic of a Bible study. It'll be this or that or the other. In so many ways, he's trying to get through to us. So the goal is really pay attention. Really see what's going on around you. I'll just get on a soapbox for a second. If you're one of these folks, forgive me. Here I am, an HEB, pushing my cart. Donna will tell you, uh-oh, here it comes. I'm the only one on the aisle, and I stop in the middle of the aisle. Here comes the next person with a crickety cart that you can hear for 69 miles. I'm coming. And person A has no sense of what's going on around them. This is Pastor Mike's car situation, right? This is mine, all right? Person A has no sense of what's going on around them, and they don't move their cart, right? I know you need to pick the color of olives that you want, but I really need to get by here. What I'm saying, pay attention to things going on around you. Pay attention. Watch what's going on in the world around you. And when something fires you up and something lights you up and you get that little bang on the inside of you, pay attention to what that is. If you need to, write it down. Take a note, at least a mental note, to say, Lord, are you speaking to me? Are you telling me something about my destiny? What is it you're saying? So if you can't get rid of a dream, a vision, or a thought, you might be heading toward what it is. So here's question number 9. What is it that you can give every moment of your life to, 100% of your life? Is there something? What thing could you do every single day? Bobby, fishing doesn't count. It might count. What thing could you do every single day and never get bored of? Think of that thing. What is it? Maybe somewhere down inside of that is your destiny. Maybe somewhere down inside of that is the passion, something that God has given you. God requires, his plan will require us to use all of our gifts and our talents and our strengths and our emotions. He didn't give them to you to ignore. Right? You will be stretched, but you know, when you work out and you're done working out and the next day you're sore, but it's a good sore, right? Yeah, most of y'all said, no, it's not a good sore. Too many of us go through our day on autopilot and never pushing ourselves to reach our own potential. So don't just make a living make a life. That's what I'm telling you today. Whatever that means for you, right? Give, when you find that thing that you can give 100% of yourself to, begin to pray about that. Begin to look at that and foster that thing and see what happens. Number 10, what do people who gather around you want to help you accomplish? That's what George told me. Get people around you with like-minded visions, with like goals and like dreams, because all of you together will accomplish every one of your individual destinies, right? You know, there are things that I know that you need to know, but as we work together doing a thing, that's when it's going to come up. I mean, I can't sit here and just brain dump everything I know to you, and you can't do the same to me. But as we do it together, I have access to what I need because it's already inside of you. I just don't know it yet. And you have access to what I need because it's inside of me and you just don't know it yet. But as we work together and as we move through our process and as we move through our day and our lives and we're working towards some kind of a goal, that's when those things rise to the surface and the thing we have need of by the Spirit of God will come forth and we'll take it and we'll propel us even further down the road where we need than we are today. So generally speaking, people that can see a zeal and a passion for you and a fruit and fruit coming out of you will be drawn to help you accomplish your goal. When I like Iris is doing the outreach ministry here in the neighborhood and stuff, you know, there are like-minded people who want to help her accomplish that goal. There are ideas and thoughts that she hasn't had yet, that you haven't had yet, that when you do something together, you will accomplish more than Iris alone or any one of us alone, right? And that just goes across the board. Acts 16:10, I'll just paraphrase this. Paul had a vision of going to Macedonia to preach, okay? But it says, but all those that were with him immediately picked up that vision and were willing to go with it, all right? So when destiny is there, people sense it and they get involved, amen? No matter what it is that you're doing, no matter what it is, where it is that you're going, when God, when people see destiny coming out of you, that when people see you walking in that thing, man, it is all they can do but to come alongside and help you. And you're gonna, you know, there's enough of us here that we can help each other accomplish so many great things. We sang the song today, greater things are yet to come. Yeah, there are greater things yet to come because we're going to continue to grow individually. We're going to continue to grow as a body together. There are great things that Pflugerville has yet to see because Tree of Life is still maturing. Amen? We will accomplish mighty things. It will be things you've never thought of, things you never heard of, things you could never dream of. But we will accomplish greater and greater things. All right. So here's a few keys of destiny, and I'm just going to kind of read through these for you real quick just to give you a kind of a recap on this. People with a sense of destiny have vision, okay? You need to set some goals. This is a perfect time of the year. Set you some goals. Take a few minutes. Separate yourself from maybe wait till the bowl game's over, but separate yourself from football and sit down and write you some goals down. You take a look in our kids' rooms and in our bathroom or in our closet. We write down our goals. What do you want your 2014 goals to be? And more often than not, those goals get checked off because we've got them down. They're before our face. You can be reminded of them because, you know, 6 months from now, 6 weeks from now, you might not remember what you thought you wanted to do. But if it's ever before your face, you'll be like, oh, yeah. I really did feel in my heart at the first of the year that God wanted me to read X number of study book, whatever. You know, write that thing down. Let it be for your spiritual life. Let it be for your career. Let it be for your family, whatever, financially. It doesn't matter. Write something down. Set some goals. People with a sense of destiny have discipline. Find somebody that's doing it better than you. If you're short in the discipline category. You know, we all have our good things and that we do well at and things that we're not. But if you're short in the discipline category, find somebody who's doing it better than you and let them help you. Let them show you how to become more disciplined. Sometimes, and I'll be the first to admit this, sometimes you need to go to bed on time, okay, so that you can get up on time, so that you can do the things, right? It's hard. I'm a late night owl. I like the late nights instead of the early mornings. Hopefully my family doesn't see my grouchy early mornings too much, but find somebody that's doing it better than you and learn from them. People with a sense of destiny have self-esteem. That doesn't mean you think that you're all that and a bag of chips, but it does mean that you know what God says about you and you're willing to believe it. You know, when he says you are a good work created in Christ at his hands, yeah, you are. There's no real question about it. If he says that you're above and not beneath, you're ahead and not the tail, that's what you are. If you're the friend of God, that's what you are. Whatever, if you have confidence issues or self-esteem issues, find out what the Bible says about you and then believe it. And just believe it until it's true in your life, all right? Well, it's already true in your life, but believe it until you're walking it out and it doesn't encumber you. It doesn't hinder you from doing something great for God. People with a sense of destiny have faith and courage, right? Speaks for itself. People with a sense of destiny have resources. Believe God for more than you have today, right? You guys know it takes money to do stuff, right? If you want to go on a mission trip, if you want to supply wells to folks in Africa, if you want to, it doesn't matter what you do, it takes resources. God has all the resources available at his fingertips. At his word, he has every resource available for you to do anything he asks you to do. Anything. He will never tell you to do something that he's unwilling to provide you the ability to do. That's unjust. I mean, if I tell you to go recreate in 30 minutes a jet, I know you can't do it, right? But with his help, we could do it. All right, let's face it. It doesn't matter what it is he said to you to do. Believe him for more. If he's spoken to you something, well, here's the deal. He will speak to you bigger than you are able to accomplish, right? Because he's working with us, right? It's not our will be done, God, you help me. It's his will be done. Thanks for letting me in on it. How cool is that? You need resources, okay? You need them. We talk about it every single week here. Part of that is giving your tithes, giving your offerings. If you're having trouble with that, here's the simple challenge. When you're at a restaurant somewhere and you're going to leave a $5 tip, make it six, all right? Start somewhere. Give, be a giver. One of my goals that I'm going to write down this year is I want to be more of a giver in 2014 in every way possible, anything that I can conceive, right? If that's a little bit more of a tip, if it's a little bit more of my time, if it's a little bit more of whatever, I want to be a giver. Jack said it today, for God so loved the world, he gave. That is being an emulator of him. Is what we need to strive to be, right? People with a sense of destiny have drive and motivation. They are determined. It's like a bulldog who sunk his teeth into the tire, and you are not getting that thing away from him. Be a bulldog. Be determined. Be tough about what it is, tenacious. I like that word. Be tenacious about what he's given you to do. Have some drive, have some motivation, set some goals. People with a sense of destiny have vital relationships. Be friendly, will you? The Bible says for a man to have friends, he should show himself friendly. We already talked about it. Surround yourself with people who can help you and correct you and love you and motivate you and work with you. Have vital relationships, because those are the things that will propel you further and further. Side note, there are some relationships you need to cut off. Okay? Don't be mean. I'm just saying, When you, I didn't write this in here, the scripture, if you hang around with fools, you will become a fool. All right, I didn't say it. The Bible says it. All right, careful who you hang out with. Now, we all have to hang out with the sinners and the publicans and the blah, blah, blah. We get it. But I'm talking about your close inner circle of people, the people you confide in, the people that you work with on a daily basis. If you want to be foolish, we'll hang around a bunch of goofies, you know, and you will become just that. So my challenge to you is, and it's always tricky, is to find someone who's doing it better. Find someone who's got more money, who's got a bigger ministry, who's got a whatever. And you hang in with them and you watch what happens. People with a sense of destiny are not afraid to fail, right? If you goof it up, man, you better do it with some gusto. I mean, do it big. Mess up seriously. That tells the Lord you are sold out and you are going to try no matter what happens. If I fall on my face 1,000 times, Father, I'm getting up and I'm still going to go because that's what you've told me to do, right? How many times, guys, you probably slap me for even saying it again. I tell the worship team, look, if we're going to mess up, let's do it with style. I mean, let's go to town and just tear this thing up, right? I'd rather go out sold out for God and wear something out and oops than to sit back and to never move forward and to never and be humdrum and be bored and be boring, you know? So people with a sense of destiny are not afraid to fail. Good. I've got a couple more minutes left, you guys. Thank you so much. Things that will knock you off course. All right, I'm just going to kind of blow through these. Most of them are going to be obvious. Satan wants to knock you off your course. So walking in your God-given destiny is natural. It does flow out of you. You will produce results. It will be the thing that is easy for you to do. However, we live in a fallen world, and there are going to come times when you, when somebody's going to come at you with a swing. You know it. I mean, this is, we've all experienced it, right? Doesn't mean you're outside of his will. It doesn't mean that everything will be hunky-dory all your life. We already know that is not true either. But we have authority and power to solve these problems when they come up. Here's a couple of them just to let you know. Satan will come to knock you off course. The Bible says the enemy comes to steal, kill, and destroy. So here's a question for you. What thoughts or roadblocks has Satan placed in you, in your mind, that you should release? That you're not good enough, that you're not rich enough, that you're not good looking enough, that you are whatever. What is it that he's put in your mind that you need to release? That'll be the challenge for the day. Think about that. Being short-sighted, what areas will knock you off course? What areas do you need a vision? Oh man, I need a vision in my finances. Last year was a hard year. I need to really plan better. I need to not eat out 500 times a week because I can do X, Y, and Z. What? Think about it. Don't be short-sighted. Think of a little bit down the road a little bit. Stress. In what areas are you experiencing stress? Stress will knock you off your course. How can you turn that into a positive and creative experience? A good thing to do, if you're feeling really stressed out, man, start singing at the top of your lungs. Start shouting and dancing because all the stress, it'll go away. Work out whatever it is for you. Turn that factor, that negative emotion, that negative factor into something that's usable. Turn it into something positive that you can use for his kingdom and for his glory. Plus, it's better for your body if you're not stressed out. Ego and pride will knock you off course, right? If you do think you're all that and a bag of chips, ask 10 people what they think. And we used to do this thing at Dell, and it was, I hated it. It was basically called a 360, a feedback 360, right? So you send, you know what I'm talking about? Oh, this is the most painful but eye-opening thing you can do. You send out to all your coworkers, kind of a survey about you. Jesus, help me. I found out so much about myself by sending out one of those 360s because you get the feedback. The best part is it's anonymous, or the worst part, it's anonymous. So you don't know that it's the guy that's sitting right there that's called you all kinds of names, right? No, I'm kidding. But sort of, only. Do an assessment. Keep your feet on the ground, right? God says we should think highly of ourselves, but not more highly than you should, right? It is okay to be proud about your kids. It's okay to be proud about what you've accomplished. It is perfectly. Jesus is proud of us, man. He is so proud of us. He's a good father, and it's okay to do that as well. But just, you know, keep your hat on. Last thing that'll knock you off course, fear. What is it that you're afraid of? Are you afraid of change? Are you afraid of failure? Are you afraid of to succeed? What fear is it that's holding you back from God's best for your life? Think about that thing. You begin to speak to that fear. Begin to nullify it. Command it to go. The Bible says that fear is a spirit. We can speak to spirits. We have authority. Listen, guys, you know it. First of all, not only do we live in the best place in order to fulfill a God-given destiny, we have the best God. I mean, not the best one. He's the only one. You know what I'm saying? But if anybody can help you accomplish and fulfill, it's Him. He is on our side. He loves us. He wants for us so bad to succeed. Not just in and of ourselves so that we can be a success, but when you succeed, I will tell you what's going to happen. It's going to impact people around you. It's going to impact your family. It's going to impact your workplace. It's going to impact your city. It's going to impact the state, the nation, the world, right? When all of us are succeeding in doing what we do to the best of our abilities, to our walking out our God-given destiny, it will impact each other, will impact this city, and we will do greater and greater and greater things for Him. Amen? Amen. Well, let's pray together. If you will, stand up this morning. I want to just pray a prayer over you and just pray that God will, hopefully there's a spark inside of some of this that will propel you to take an inventory and taking a look at your life to see and to recognize, hey, we're not at the end of the journey yet. If you're 4 or you're 40 or you're older than that, you're not done. You are not done. Even if Moses didn't even get kicking good until he was 80, right? Let's just look at it, right? He had 40 years to figure out, you know, what he was going to do. So don't think, well, I'm past my prime. I'm this or that or the other. No. There are many, many, many things that God has designed. He's got not just a lifetime, but an eternity of things for you to accomplish. So don't look at, you know, well, so I'll just call it like this. Uncle Jerry, 95, how many of you don't think that he's got a plan for Uncle Jerry, right? You know what I'm talking about. So if you're younger than Uncle Jerry, I think we're pretty good here, then you have a calling. You have a destiny, and you have something that God has put on the inside of you that needs to get out for the sake of the rest of us, for the sake of His kingdom. Amen. Amen. Well, let's pray together today, and then we'll, unless we have any further announcements, we'll be dismissed. So as I pray, just consider what it is for you. Reach out to your Father and just ask Him to help you to make plans and to walk out your destiny and to do the things that he's called you to do. So, Father, we thank You for this morning, Lord God. We thank You that we get the chance, Father, again to come together before You, Father, and to learn from You and to hear Your heart and to hear Your voice, Father. And that we thank You, Lord, that You've not left us. You will not forsake us, Father, that You've got a plan, a will, a destiny, a calling, Father, on every single person, Father, today. I thank You that, Father, you don't just look at humanity and leave us to ourselves, but, Father, You reach down and You help us. Father, You move us forward and You accomplish things in us and through us. And I just pray for every family. I pray for every individual, Father, today that You would just put a spark inside of us, Father, for this coming year, that we might be able to see Your will, to see your the destiny, the drive, the motivate, the things that You've called us to do, God. I pray that, Father, You would just, Father, do Your work inside of us by Your Spirit, that He would have His way, that, Father, we would accomplish every single thing, Father, that You've called us to do. God, that we would stand before You one day and hear the great words, "Well done, daughter. Well done, my son." Oh, God, I thank You for that. I thank You, Lord God, for who You are and for all that You do for us. Lord God, You're a great and mighty God, powerful and wonderful. And we worship you. And we bless you. Father, in Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. 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 All right.